Vegas Bad Boys Podcast presents Matt Michaels, People I Don't Hate.
Hey everybody, Matt Michaels here, and today I am joined by OVC himself, Otto von Klutch. How you doing, brother?
Oh, I'm doing really good. What's going on, everyone? As good old Matt said, my name is Otto von Klutch, and it feels so good to be right here with kind of like my neighbors, actually, because I'm right here in Las Vegas now, so I'm pretty excited about today.
What brought you to Vegas?
What brought me to Las Vegas? Well, really just, you know, I wanted to get out of California, and I have a lot of buddies out here in Las Vegas, and just, you know, I wanted to just kind of relocate, and so I figured what no better place than good old Sin City. It's a great place to live, so moved out here about a month and a half ago, and it's been just really fun, training every Monday and Tuesday at FSW with Sin Bodhi, and it's just, you know, I love it out here. I really, really do. It's like, it's way better than California, in my opinion. I really love it.
20 years myself in California, and 3 years now here, and I agree. Cali is such a great place. Southern California is amazing, but boy, it's just a lot of traffic, a lot of money. Great people, great memories, great friends, but damn, around here you get around like it's, you know, like you could go 30 miles in, you know, 30 minutes here. It's just amazing.
Oh, absolutely. It's like just the other day I drove out to Area 51, then I drove out to like Lake Mead, Valley of Fire, the Red Rocks, Hoover Dam, just everywhere. I'm totally just being a total local and just trying to find my groove out here. And there's just a lot of great activities out here that really keep you active and just active during the quarantine, you know, safely. So it's really good.
Yeah. Speaking about activities, before we talk about wrestling, surfing, brother,
this is a great thing now. Now you're talking my lingo, bro. So the thing with surfing now, people are like, well, Otto, you're a surfer. You know, you surfed for many, many years. This is why I look at it now. Now is a great time for AEW or NXT or New Japan to get a hold of me, because now I'm actually have a private wave pool out here in Vegas. So I'm safe. I'm not a liability now. I'm not out there in the ocean, you know, every day with the sharks, with the octopus, with the stingrays. You know what I mean? I'm like, I'm a lot safer now. So there's no liability on that. And I'm not going to lose my arm or lose my leg by a shark by any means. So that's actually a nice thing living here in Vegas. Now I don't have to worry about that. So it's kind of nice. It's very nice, actually.
What was your favorite beach to surf, man?
Oh, man, Trussell's is a great one. Trussell's Beach is like a really rocky bottom. So what happens is the wave is just, it's almost like a machine wave that's a natural wave machine, because the bottom is always rock. It's always that same way. So the wave breaks the same way. If you go to Huntington Beach, it's more of a beach break. It's going to be sandy bottoms where there's a lot of different pockets of like little islands in the water where it's like 2 feet. So it makes it very dangerous.
Yeah.
Also down in La Jolla, there's a lot of good spots. There's a spot like right by the freaking, kind of by Trestles. It's called DMZ, but it's on base. So you have to know someone on base, but they have a kill there. So there's a lot of good spots, but I've never surfed up north. I've always wanted to surf in like the Bay, at Half Moon Bay or Mavericks.
Yeah.
But who knows, one day maybe I'll do that again. But for now, no more surfing in the ocean, just surfing out here at the local wave pool. So it's a lot better.
What got you interested in wrestling? I mean, was it something that you were passionate about when you were a kid?
Oh, absolutely. Like wrestling is just always kind of like been in my life as long as I can remember. Just really just my mom, you know, buying me VHSs at a very young age, or letting me go to Blockbuster and seeing these cool covers of, like, you know, back in the day, you go to Blockbuster or Hollywood Video, and they'd be just really awesome covers. Like, oh, I want to see these guys. Like, let me watch this one or that one. And she was always very supportive. And then, you know, once I found out that, oh, like, there's, you know, WCW Thunder on this night, or there's Monday Nitro on this night, or Raw, you know, on summer nights, because there was just so much product and so much great stuff. Like, I feel blessed to be able to grow up in the Attitude Era as a young child, like being able to watch all those awesome matches and, you know, having my mom and, you know, family support me watching wrestling. I remember there was times where I'm, you know, watching Sunday Night Heat and the Den or whatever, and Mark Henry, Sexual Chocolate's getting rubbed down by, you know, Mae Young or Sable or someone. And it's just like, what are you watching? And I'm like, I promise it's not what it looks like. And it's just, oh, and then, like, I wasn't able to watch it for a couple of weeks and just beg them, please, like, this is what I want. I want to watch it. I want to be like these guys and women or whatever. You know, I want to be like these superheroes. And just, that's really just, ever since I was like 6 years old, Matt, like, even maybe my first memories, like, I was watching it at the age of 3 and 4, like, for sure, like watching Yokozuna and Bret Hart. I don't really remember it, but I was watching it. Like, my sister, you know, told me, like, oh, you know, we'd always watch it. I just don't recall it. But so it's always been in my life.
Right.
So, but my closest first memory is, like, really just like Stone Cold and Dude Love, Over the Edge 98, like, just killer. Like, I love that match. I love that whole pay-per-view. It was just phenomenal.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. That's kind of where it all started. That's you know, you can't go wrong with having that as your upbringing, you know, your wrestling upbringing.
Right.
How did you find Knox Pro then? Were you actively looking for, you know, places that train, or?
It was just like, really for me, it was very, I've never been super like into the internet, never like, you know, I've always grown up at the beach, so I've been a very beach person, and just like realizing, like, I didn't know, I always wanted to be a wrestler. I just didn't know where to go to school. And so I wanted to go to school. It was like 2004. I was 14 years old, or 13 or 14. And I went and seen like a UPW show was happening at the Grove of Anaheim. And I was like, wow, I was 14 years old. I'm like, cool. Like, I'm going to go to UPW when I'm like 18 years old. Like, that was kind of my goal. And then when I turned 18, I believe UPW wasn't around no more. Around that time frame, it wasn't there. By the time I looked, it was gone. Yep. And so I did go one day to a lucha training at a place, I believe, and I don't want to disrespect it if it's the wrong name, a school called WPW. And that was in Costa Mesa off of like 19th Street. It was a lucha school run by a luchador, and there was a lot of talent there. There's actually, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, like one of the Lucha Bros, one of those guys were training there. Like, there was a lot of like talent, but it just wasn't for me, the whole lucha thing. I went there and I'm like, oh, you know, like, I didn't know Spanish and it was very difficult. I'm like, I don't know if I could do this. So then that kind of just went by, and months and years went by, and in 2014, actually like 2013, I was like on Facebook and I seen a picture of Gangrel with like a friend of mine, like at a wrestling event. I'm like, wow, this is sick. Like, this is happening in LA. Like, I love Gangrel. Like, let's go check it out. And so I went to the school, and it was Rikishi's wrestling school, and Rikishi and Gangrel and Black Pearl, they were running it at the time, and they still do. And I was just like, wow, this is awesome. And, you know, I think I went to a couple of shows, and then I'm like, oh, this is definitely what I want to do. I want to be trained by these guys. This is what I want. So in 2014, I joined Knox Pro, and man, for like the first couple of years, it was just very, very, the first 9 months was just like a whole, it was like boot camp. You know, at the time Gangrel was there in the beginning when I was there, and he was very like drill sergeant, but it was very good. Like, he wants to see things done correctly, and just what a great mentor and a great teacher, just very mechanical and really pushes you to the limits, but very cares for you. He's a very caring person. And Rikishi, the same thing with him, another great mentor that, you know, Gangrel has his own wrestling asylum now in Florida, but now Rikishi and Black Pearl, they still run Knox Pro Academy in Van Nuys, California.
Yep.
And so, yeah, I just started then in 2014 and, like, literally had my first match within probably 30 days. Like, I think the first, like, there was a show, like, maybe 2 weeks after I joined, and I was the host of the show. And, oh, my goodness, like, a lot of people don't realize this, but I'm kind of like DDP in a sense where – with reading, I'm not the best. I'm not a great reader. Like, I'm a sight reader.
Sure.
And so they gave me a list of all these guys' names, and they're like, you know, you got to remember all these guys, and these guys are going to come out. And, oh, my goodness, I think I botched everybody's name that came out that night. It was like I called one guy Stingray McCray. Just all this crazy stuff. Like, I don't even know where it was coming from. And so that was the last time I hosted an event with like that situation. Like, okay, we're going to, you know, we'll have them, you know, start wrestling. And so then boom, I started wrestling at shows right after that and still being able to use the mic. I mean, I take pride in being able to cut very good promos. I think I cut some of the best promos in the indies. I challenge anyone to me, like I can cut promos for days, like, but it just certain things, the way I learn, the way I process things is differently. And so, yeah, within like 60 days having shows, within like a couple months going on tour to Amarillo, Texas. This is a story that I haven't told on a podcast before, but I'm in Amarillo, Texas, very green, very, very green. And, you know, we're still all green and we're always learning. You never stop learning in this business.
Right.
From my aspect. And so we're out there and Gangrel says, okay, you know, you're going to take a lariat. And that's it. You're done. That's it. Guy's going to get you. That's it. You're going to be knocked out. And I'm like, oh, what's a lariat? He got so pissed. Like, what's a clothesline? Guy, man, you idiot. And I'm just, you know, like I was from my attitude, from my upbringing, the wrestling that I watched, they didn't call it lariat, at least that I remember. It was a clothesline. Like, it's just there was a little bit of a, and now I know what a lariat is. Now I know a lot of, you know, things I didn't know before, but just the learning process and just the fact that these guys, like my trainers, have always given me so much access, opportunity, and exposure from tryout, or not necessarily tryouts because it wasn't a tryout, but from doing extra work for multiple days and doing just tours, going to Hawaii, New Mexico, freaking all over America. Like, they have given me so much, and I've given them, you know, you got to pay your dues. But I tell you what, it was definitely worth it, and a lot of great memories. And so it's just like, that's kind of where it all started, and just going on tours and just being devoted with them for so long. And then around 2000, I'd say 18, they gave me the green light to go and be able to wrestle other places and just try to like expand, because I just see what's going on and I'm like, I'm kind of, my fingers are on the pulse of things. I'm like, you know, I want to get out there. I want to get some eyes on me. So I've been able to branch out and just be able to get my name out there and be able to go to companies like Hood Slam and sure. Something that I'm very proud of. Like, I mean, I've had a lot of just great memories at Hood Slam doing that in Oakland. And just, it's been just such a fun ride. And how I said, you never stop learning. So now it's awesome. I get to learn on Mondays and Tuesdays with Symphony. And I love to be able to, you know, just pick his brain and just see his perspective on this art. And it's just a lot of fun.
Yeah. I mean, I love that you got excited by UPW. I trained there from like 2000 to 2002, that time period. And
nice.
Yeah. And there was nothing like walking into the Galaxy Theater for, you know, a show there where you have the ring and the ramp and the stage there and just all those tables around it and the bar. It was such a great feeling for a show that, right. You know, it, I could see where if you were younger and you came to one of those shows, why you'd be like, hey, I want to kind of go to this place, because it wasn't in like a gym. It wasn't in a, you know, in a VFW hall, you know, so it was something that I think is very attractive to the eye as a kid, you know. And then to hear that you found Kishi's place, that's awesome. Because, again, between Gangrel and Rikishi, you're getting trained by guys. When you said boot camp, I love it because, you know, Sin's the same way. But that's how we were all taught, You know, this is how you do it. And nowadays you see a lot of schools just, there's a lot of flippity-floppy going on. You know, kids just want to try the high spots and do this and want to be, you know, flashy and all that. And it's like, there's so much more to storytelling. Are you starting to feel that that aspect, your storytelling in the ring, is catching up with your skill set?
Yeah, I think I feel like storytelling was probably there even before my skill set. I'd say that like that was my strong point is being able to tell a story, being vocal when I need to be vocal, and you know, just you never stop learning. It's like, man, I'm still learning. Like, so good thing is, I don't know when this will air, but this coming Tuesday, and they'll be able to watch it on replay or whatever, we'll be doing LIW. Knox Pro runs a show every Tuesday called Live Interactive Wrestling. And it's literally the fans get the opportunity to control the action. There's a massive monitor right next to the ring. And so as the competitors are in the ring, they get to look up, you know, when they're in a headlock or whatever it may be, and they get to see what Evil Emohan saying, or, you know, Stardust 65 says, or whatever it may be. And you have to get a reply to these people's moves that they want to see. They want to see whatever it may be, you know, a gut-wrench suplex or a power bomb or, you know, whatever, a frog splash or flying head, but whatever they want, you get to respond to them. So they get to interact with you. You get to interact with the fans like that. This was something that we did back, I believe, in like 2017 on Twitch, but then it kind of went away and now it's back again. So I get to go this coming Tuesday and work there. And that's just another great way to like always like, you know, you got to be ready for that because you never know what the fans are going to throw at you. They might want to see something crazy and they can pay bits and they can see chair shots. They can see kendo sticks. They can see all that if they want to pay for it.
Right. Which is, you know, that's very interesting too, because we're now at that point with technology where you can, you know, have fan interaction like that, which is, like you said, a whole nother sense of learning, because if you're improvising with whoever you're in the ring with and you guys are calling a match, you're in lock with each other. You know, it's just two people or, you know, if it's tag match, you know, four people or whatever. Here, you not only have your partner that you're working with, but now both of you are improvising on the suggestions of the audience, like actual improv is done.
Yeah, and I imagine no one's told me this, but I just know how I am. Like, it's what they say is what I'm gonna do. You know what I mean? Like, that's what this is. That's what I'm gonna give them. You know, I'm going to give the fans what they want. If they want what they want, then they're going to get what they ask, you know? So.
Yeah, that's a cool thing. You know, since you've been working in Sin's class, what is one of the things that sticks out to you about the way he goes about his business with the students in his class?
Oh, it's really great. Sin was actually, he was at Knox Pro for a few months, like in the beginning stages of my career, maybe the first year or two he was there, because we would do freak show wrestling there.
Right.
So I would do some freak show with him and whatnot. So for me, it was like a no-brainer to be like, I'm living in Vegas now. Oh, I'm definitely going to go see Sin because, you know, he's trained me before and like we have a connection. So I have a, you know, personal connection with this person. I know this person. So it's great to be able to see him run class when it's just him, and it's just to be able to break things apart. And he's really going to just breed he already is breeding a killer group of guys and women. And, you know, it's just like that mind, like that's the stuff we need. We need that old school wrestling mentality, I believe. And we need some of that new stuff. He's just we're all artists, but he's a very good artist. You know what I mean? And he has a very good mind for the business. So it's really fun to go to class and that's what it should be like. It's nice to go to class and you know, you have a good time. Like you want to be able to have a good time, be safe, learn some stuff. And, you know, there's just a really good group of, students at FSW right now. Like, there's tons and tons of good talent, and there's just tons of awesome talent in Las Vegas in general.
Yeah.
You know, there's Versus Pro Studios at the Boulevard, which has, there's talent there. There's talent all over. It's just a great time to be in Las Vegas. The wrestling scene in Las Vegas, I feel like if the pandemic wasn't going on, oh my goodness, I couldn't imagine. There would probably be like 15 shows going on every 2 weeks. I mean, there'd be shows every night, I feel like. It would be just crazy, because I know how things were going right before the pandemic, you know, happened. We were all popping. Everyone was popping.
Yeah.
Hood Slam was running every Friday, plus running Sundays at in San Francisco at the Oasis occasionally, and just running everywhere. And just everything was just popping. So I think it's going to get good again. I think within time, it's, you know, we're all going to get back to getting into the groove. But I've been blessed enough to be trained by people that have taught me the business, to be able to see things coming, to be able to navigate through the waters of professional wrestling. And, you know, I was quarantined very well for like a lot of months. And then by August, some bookings started coming back in for Texas and things like that. So I did everything precautiously. And all the bookings that I do take, everyone has to take COVID tests. So it's all, everything's very safe. But just been able to stay really busy. Like, surprisingly, like the end of 2020, I was been super busy. You can catch me every Thursday and the awesome crew of Salt Lake City for Devotion Championship Wrestling. That's on Fight TV. Every Thursday. It was on the CW 30, I believe, right now. It's just going on the Fight TV, though, for now. And Vince Russo is the writer to that show. And I have this is some real crazy stuff. I mean, we don't even want to tread into these waters, I don't think, quite yet. But just this wild storylines going on. I mean, my father is a professional wrestler. His name's Tombstone Jesus. Tombstone Geezer, if you want to call him that. He's a geezer. But now his name is Tombstone Judas. He's very egotistical. And, you know, he's been my long lost dad that freaking left me when I was young. And I finally found him back. And so now, you know, me and him have been battling it out. We had a DNA match, the first ever DNA match. We've had the first ever growing pain match. And we just keep throwing out crazy stuff. And it's all because of ourselves, because we have a lot of creative input. It's sure. Not all Vince Russo, but Vince Russo freaking is a genius. Like, as much as people might not like him or they love him, like, the dude is a genius. When you get the script from Vince Russo, it's like, whoa, this is what a script's supposed to look like. F yeah, like, this is badass. Like, Vince is the man. So it's super, super cool blessing to be able to say Vince Russo helps write our storylines. Yeah. It's just, it's awesome right now. So I've been able to stay really busy during the pandemic. And so it's been, you know, as bad as it's been, it's also been time to be able to heal, be able to grow, you know, have situations where you might not have a good match. It's good to learn from these things. You got to learn from everything, or have some bad trainings or whatever it may be, or have some really killer trainings. You know, it's just, it's good to grow. Like, no matter what, I feel like every single day I'm always growing. I'm always getting tested. It's always just, you know, I try to, like, how Sin will say, and kind of like made me open my eyes to it. Like, every day you got to take away something that you've learned and try to better yourself and become a better person every day. And I strive for that. Like, I strive to not be the person that I might've used to be. You know, I strive to be the person that I am now. And I take pride in what I do, and I love what I do, and I love professional wrestling so much.
Do you see the similarities in surfing and wrestling in terms of, you know, just the feel of when you surf, you're riding that wave, you're working with the water essentially to accomplish something that looks amazing and feels amazing, obviously, when you accomplish it, right? And in wrestling, essentially, you're kind of doing the same thing with each other. You're working together to create this organic, beautiful thing that fans are watching, and you're literally taking them on that ride. Have you ever, you know, put the two together in your mind as, hey, you know, I can use what I learned, you know, being a lifelong surfer into wrestling?
You know, I've never thought about that, Matt, but now that you say that, a few things immediately pop in. With the waves, like, you can go out there and catch a killer wave, and, you know, you might be in the barrel of a wave and do some really epic stuff, and there might be no one there to see it. There might be just a few guys on the beach that see it.
Yeah.
And you think, man, there might be some shows that you go to, and you might have a killer, killer night, and you guys supposedly tore the house down or something, but there might have only been, like, 30 people there or whatever it may be. Like, there's those times, but also, like, how I heard Booker T say this recently, like, you got to be able to navigate and to be able to, you know, make it in the locker room before you can make it in the ring. And, like, I feel like with the waters, like, with all the other surfers out there, like, you got to be able to, like, you know, navigate yourself through the waters of being okay with this surfer. Like, okay, yeah. It's his turn to go. It's my turn to go. You got to be able to work incoherent with each other, or in whatever you want to say. You got to work with each other. And the same thing goes with wrestling in the locker room. You got to be able to work with each other. You got to be able to get along with each other. Even if you guys don't have the same match with each other, you guys never, like, you know, you could never have a match with this guy for 5 years, but for whatever reason, you guys have beef. Like, I hate to see that type of stuff. Like, you know what yeah. I mean? Like, everyone should just be positive. And I, you know, I always try to uplift any locker room, any area that I go to. You know, I don't want to come across fake, but I'm very positive. I love to be positive. I love to joke around. I don't, you know, rib or whatever, but I love to have a good time and just try to make everyone feel welcome. And, you know, like, it's just such a crazy time in the world. Like, we should all just be together for each other and try to help each other. And, you know, it doesn't matter what color or whatever you are, I don't care, whatever it is. It's like, it's just all, you know, just be natural. We're all humans. We're all on this earth. Just all love each other. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it's
your question. I'm so off base. I'm sorry, real quick.
Oh,
but to answer your question, yes, surfing in the wave, I never thought about it, but yes, surfing and being in a locker room or being in the ring is similar, and never really broke it down like that. But thank you for putting it in that perspective for me, because it definitely it is like that.
Well, you know, it's interesting too. I think that with wrestling, if you can put it in terms where you have a different background and you can relate that background to what you're trying to accomplish in wrestling, then it makes it sometimes more of a light bulb goes off in people's, you know, heads. You know, I was lucky to come in with an acting background, and even though I wasn't pursuing it as a career, I wanted to do it so I could learn and not kick myself, you know, 20 years down the line for not doing it. But bringing that background to it helps me understand more of what you're doing in terms of psychologically or, you know, even physically. That, to me, is like one of the most important things, because I think ring psychology is one of the most important things that is, you know, when you encounter in the ring, you want to absorb every ounce of it, because of the fact that you never know how that wave's going to break, right? So,
right.
You know, you want to know. The worst thing you can do is go out there and you're trying to get yourself over in a character that's just not connecting, and you just ignore and ignore and ignore, and that just buries you. You know, you've got to be able to adapt. You got to be able to listen. You got to be able to, you know, sometimes call on the fly. You got to work smarter, you know, than working flashy per se. Is there been a situation or a particular match that you've had where you felt that when you came out, you were so confident in what you were doing, but then you hit the brick wall of the audience just not buying into it? Has that ever happened to you?
I mean, I think anyone, if you ask that question to any performer, wrestler, actor, I mean, it's happened to everybody. I mean, of course. I mean, I'd be a liar sitting here saying, no, that's never happened. Every time I've gone out there, whatever character I've been, the crowd has just been hooked and they just love everything I do. Hell no. There's been times I've gone out there and failed. I mean, there's definitely, but then there's been times out there we hit home runs, but
yeah.
It's like, you got to hit more home runs in our sport than you do. You can't have a lot of fouls. You can't have a lot of foul balls or whatever you want to look at. It's like, but yeah, there's been times like, man, there was a time I wrestled, really the only time that really stands, there's a couple times, the one time that really stands out is I was wrestling in San Francisco and I wrestled a guy that was, we were characters. I was the Big Lebowski and he was Forrest Gump and he was doing the running and he was just running through the whole show. During every match, he's just coming through and running through matches and just running and running and running and running. And then finally, Forrest Gump will have a match. Well, it's like, in my mind, I'm thinking I'm the Big Lebowski, you know, the Big Lebowski. Everyone loves the Big Lebowski. It's like, no, dude, they're going to love Forrest Gump. He's been running around all night long. I mean, dude, the guy is over. And we just had a match that was very a match that we collided. And it happens. I mean, how does it not happen? It's like, right, our sport, you're a woman or a man. It's like anytime you're competing with each other, I don't care. You're going to bump heads. Like, it's natural, but you got to be able to control that. And you got to be able to be professional, because how the old saying is, what's the first thing in professional wrestling is professional. So you got to be professional. And, but you know, you don't want to butt heads. You try not to butt heads, but yeah, there was that. And just, man, I'm trying to really think of like times I've just totally screwed up. I mean, there was a time where we were wrestling another time in Dallas, Texas, or Amarillo, Texas. And it was like 2015. So I was only in the business for like a year, if you even call it that, in training for a year. And like, I'm pretty sure like there was a lot of executives there from WWE, because there's like WrestleMania happening across the street, like the day before.
Right.
Or, yeah. The day after. And, so like the very first seconds of my match, you know, I'm going against Rikishi and I believe Black Pearl at the time. And it was me and my partner Maverick, and I'm on the apron and I'm just jumping up and down, like excited. And this was a big, big ring. And I just fell right from the top, just fell
right
on the apron and just right on my back, flat on my back, blah, and just like, really, I got up immediately really fast trying to no sell it, when really it's like, I probably was knocked out. I don't think I was knocked out, but I mean, everyone's just like floppy fish, and yada, yada, yada. And so you're just like, you know, you get embarrassed, but you got to like adapt and like, okay, well, yeah, like maybe I was meant to do that, but no, I wasn't. But, you know, things happen. So
sure.
It is what it is. You know, you learn from it, move on, and hopefully become a better performer. And I always strive to be better. Like, I would hate to any fan like watch me like, oh, I feel like this is stale or old or stagnant. Like, right. I want it to be fresh for them every time I do it. And that with Hood Slam, I had that opportunity to be a lot of characters, freaking tons and tons and tons of characters. And I love being different characters. And I, you know, I love being Otto Von Klutch. Otto Von Klutch is Adam Sparn. It's the same character, just myself turned up to a freaking million. I am who I am.
Sure.
That's why a lot of times fans are like, oh, I see you're doing like the Matt Riddle thing. That's so cool. And then, like, all due respect to Matt Riddle, like, I was wrestling before I started training for wrestling before Matt Riddle. I was, you know, and there's other people I know on the independents are just in the wrestling scene that been doing things that, you know, other people do. It's just, it is what it is. Like, yeah, it just so happens that Matt Riddle and me are kind of like each other. You know what I mean? And on that note, we were like doing some backstage stuff or doing like WWE extra work for Survivor Series back in like 2018. And then I ran into Matt Riddle and he was super cool, man. So like, it was like, there's no, personally, I would love to be like a tag team partner with Matt Riddle. That's what I try to put out in the universe. So that's what I'm going to put right out here on the podcast today is, you know, I would love to be Matt Riddle's tag partner. I think the bro and the dude or the bra would be perfect together. Like, it is what it is. Like, this is who we are. Just, this is, take it for what it is. So, but you never know. Never say never in wrestling. It's amazing. Like, I would have never thought I would have accomplished what I've accomplished or wrestled the people that I've been able to wrestle in just a 6-year span. It's amazing. You know what I mean? Like, I would never think I'd be able to wrestle against Rey Mysterio or John Morrison, or, you know, team up with Gangrel or Rikishi of freaking dozens of times, dozens and dozens of times. Like, it's just crazy. Like, follow, that just shows you follow your goals.
Yep.
Whatever goals you have, go after your goals, even if they're ridiculous. Like, if you want to be a freaking cashier at Walmart. Don't be afraid to go be a cashier. Go do it. Like, go do what you got to do. Like, whatever you want to do, just go and do it. Like, I feel like whatever your goal or your dream or your desire, accomplish it. Because that's the way I feel like. And I tell my daughters that, like, whatever you want to do, just do it and see what happens. Like, it's all we can do is try. You can never, you know, how the old saying of Mike Tyson says, a lot of people don't even try and do it. So, hell, we try. You know what I mean? So we've already succeeded.
Yeah. No, that's, and that's, I think, one of the most important things is that if you want to do something, try it. It's as simple as that, you know?
Really?
Because again, what it comes down to is that what you don't realize in your youth is that when you get older, you are going to look back and wish you had tried something that you wanted to do. It's like, yeah, it makes so much sense. With having daughters, how do they see you in the light of professional wrestling? Do they embrace what you're doing? Do they like it at all?
They've been around it their whole lives, you know, like that kind of got into their life when the oldest was 3 and then the youngest was just a few months old. So they've been around wrestling their whole life too. So they love it. Like, they watch wrestling. I don't even really watch wrestling with them a lot of times. They'll watch their own. They like to watch a lot of the divas and the women, and they have all their stuff they love to watch. And they just, you know, they love it. They love it. And they're actually, I hate to put this out there, it was like nothing that I ever told them to do. Like, this is something like, if they want to go do volleyball or if they want to go do tennis or whatever it may be, I'm always supportive to go pay like for the first couple classes and just see how things are. And so they've always wanted to do kid classes, and they've always wanted to, like, Knox Pro would do like a kids class where we'd have graduation. We would have it like where it's like an open day for like anyone just to come to the school. In the morning we'd do kids, and then later on we'd have the adults do their training. And so there never was an opportunity though for them to like actually really try it. So now at Versus Pro Studios at the Boulevard, DeShade, I got to give a big shout out to DeShade. They run kid classes over there. And so I've been over there with the girls. They've been doing, I think like they're on their 4th class or 5th class, and they are like killing it. Like, and not even them, like there's like a couple other kids, I won't even say names, but these, that's amazing. Like, there's some kids that come in for their first class. I seen a young man come in for his first class, and me and my wife are sitting there, and he's just doing all the roles so perfectly, running the ropes. And just like, it makes me like filled with joy inside, knowing that like the future of wrestling is going to be pretty sweet, I think, because if these people are, if these kids are picking things up that quick, I mean, it took some of us a long time just to, you know, get a roll down. Like, these kids are picking it up like bam, bam, bam. And I know there's like another couple younger talents at FSW. There's another young kid that's in training all the time. I won't mention his name, but a young kid that's in training with us. And my goodness, this kid is phenomenal. Like, it makes me excited to be in training with this kid. I'm like, well, damn it. Like, if I ain't future champion, I know this kid's definitely going to be future champion. Like, this kid's awesome. Like, so it's cool to see that for like, just as a wrestler, like, it's good to know that like, it's going to be good. You know what I mean? And, you know, everyone has an opinion. So if someone wants to say something they don't like about something, it's an opinionated sport. You know what I mean? Like, it's all good. Like, that's something I love about wrestling, is like, it's a good feeling as a fan. When you go to the fan, you know, you go to the stadium and you don't have to worry about cheering for who you want to cheer, because it's not like someone's going to beat you up like for liking this person or that person. And we got to always remember that, like, just the way it is. Like, we're, you know, let people like what they want. Some people aren't going to like that style. Some people are going to like comedy. Some are not. It is what it is. So it's just, it's like, it's really cool to see the girls just training. And it's like, literally, they already know how to do their shoulder tackles, arm ringers. They can run the ropes. They do all their rolls, their back rolls, their front rolls. They're going to start learning their tiger rolls now. The kids don't do any bumps, though. Like,
right.
I ain't going to let them do any bumps. Like, I wouldn't even let them do bumps until they're 18, personally. It's like, no, no, no. When you're at your 18, you could bump. But I just personally wouldn't want them to do that. Like, your body needs to develop, I feel like, and I'm not going to put them through that, because, I mean, it's painful. Like, I don't care what people say. You know, wrestling, it's painful. So I don't want them, like, the girls have seen, you know, seen situations where, you know, might have a hurt, you know, might be sore or whatever it may right. be. They've seen that. They know what it is. And so I think it gives them a sense of, like, you know, like, hey, we're just trying to protect you. Like, you don't need to bump around. Like, just yeah. learn this. If you girls can do the roles and you enjoy it, that's great. And they do their little kid matches and they do all that stuff. And so it's fun. So it makes me feel real proud to see them just enjoying what I enjoy. You know, like if I was yeah. to be able to be 9 years old and be able to go to wrestling school, holy crap. I mean, the opportunity they get is, it's amazing. So it's really exciting.
That's interesting too. Cause when I was about 9 or 10 years old, there wasn't school, you know, for in-ring classes or anything like that. So naturally I had to turn to Greco-Roman. And by doing that, what happened was, is that I developed into a person who really got, you know, like a lot of discipline, a lot of leadership qualities, you know, things that you would have not found if you hadn't been in love with wrestling and been steered in the direction. I would have loved to have been in an actual ring. But at the same time, the grappling made me smarter, it made me tougher, and it made me love wrestling even more, you know? And I love the fact that, you know, your girls get the chance to do this. I know who you're talking about at FSW. He's a freak of fucking nature. That's how good he is.
Oh, he sure is, dude. The dude's fucking awesome.
Amazing.
I'm stoked. And I've had matches with DeShay. Me and him have had matches some bouts with each other in Oakland. And I believe a couple other places. I know we've had a couple matches with each other. And it's great to be able to, you know, like, you can't teach the kids everything. And like, and I could, I'm always there. You know, we're there the whole time with them and just like kind of help guiding things. Or if they don't understand things, I try to maybe explain things. But I tell you what, like, they do such a good job. Like, DeShay is a great, great teacher for these young up and comers. Like, he just really like explains things to them well and yeah. does it in a fun way. And it's all cool, man. So it's really cool that they get that opportunity. And it's just fun to see. And it's awesome. Like, hell, once again, I'm humble enough to say I learned things at the kids' classes. I'm not going to lie.
Sure.
I'm always, always learning. You're seeing little things like, oh, that's an interesting way to do that. Or, oh, okay. I mean, it's different perspectives, you know, like
yeah.
I've been taught a perspective on something somewhere. And it's like, man, I might go to this part of the world and there's a whole different perspective. And we already know with wrestling, that's the way it is. So yeah. it's good to be open-minded like that and just be a connoisseur of the sport and just love it all. That's what I, you know, gotta love it all.
As we wrap up, let me ask you, what to you sticks out as some of your maybe your overall goal or some of your goals coming up within the next year or two, knowing that, you know, last year was until the end of the year, pretty much a lost year for almost everyone. What do you see yourself accomplishing? And more importantly, have you been hooked into Vegas to the point where you go, hey, this might be the spot where we settle down for good?
I mean, I got a beautiful condo here in Vegas, like right on the strip. Literally, it's super quiet. You could hear it. It's not even no noise. It's like right downtown. I could see all the big skyscrapers or whatever you call them, all the casinos. But no, like, this is definitely not the, I would never, I mean, I would buy a house here, but like, this isn't it. Like, we're gonna keep going. You know what I mean? Like,
sure.
Goals. There's so many goals right now. It's unbelievable. Like, I would love to be able to go to, you know, because my style of wrestling is a different style. It's more of an old school style, but, you know, it's new wave, I'd say. I'm a new wave. I don't know. It's just, I would love to go to AEW. I'd love to go to NXT, New Japan. I mean, I don't want to just whore myself out and say I want to go everywhere. But, you know, you should want to go everywhere. Yeah. Like, why not? Like, I'd love to go to ROH. I'd love to go to Impact. I know what I could do in the ring. I know what I could do on the mic. Like, I'm happy that when I did some extra work back in 2018, I'm super, super happy I didn't get signed. Because I tell you what, since 2018, I've learned so much more shit that it's like, yeah, now I'm that much smarter. My worth is that much more. Bring it. Like, now let's talk. Now let's negotiate. I've had, you know, big matches. I know what I could do, and I know what I bring to the table. You know what I mean? And, like, I'm not someone to walk on. Like, some of these promoters want to walk on people. Like, nah. I'm not saying that happens out here in Vegas. I'm just saying, though, there's people out there that try to walk on people. Don't be having people fly out and you don't want to pay the guys. Like, if you can't pay someone, don't have someone come out. Like, you got to at least get me a freaking, you know, Happy Meal. I need something. You know what I mean? Give me the toy at least.
Yeah.
It's like something, you know what I mean? At least have respect for that aspect. I'm all about, you know, having to flip my bill sometimes if I have to go somewhere special. It's like, if I can really kill Urban, I'm like, man, I know I could get myself over if I get there. I just got to fly there. Like, I'm willing to do that if I got to, if, you know, it's the right card. But don't ever play my kindness for weakness. You know, I'm a player. I know I'm a player in this game. Like, I know I can make things happen and I can shift cards in the business and make things and change the business a little bit in a positive way. So, I mean, I'm ready for whatever comes. You know, my phone number is on my Facebook right there. You can see it. It's right there to the public. I got nothing to hide. That's my number, Mr. McMahon. That's my number, Stephanie. Whatever you want, that's where you can go. You know what I mean? Like, I'll pick up my phone any time of day. I get phone calls sometimes randomly. They'll be like saying, like, Pensacola, Florida. And you're like, oh, you never know. You just never know in this business. You always got to be ready. I actually did have an opportunity, that once again, this is for all wrestlers and for anyone in life. This is a real quick lesson that, you know, have your passport. Definitely. Yeah. If you're in this business, you need a passport. That's like almost like a stepping stone. You need a passport because there was an opportunity that passed me up because I didn't have a passport.
Yep.
So I learned really quickly in the beginning of last year, I had the opportunity to possibly go to Japan, and I got really, it was really exciting, and boom, and didn't have a passport. So now I have a passport. Now I'm ready. So it's just little life lessons, and the sky's the limit, man. The sky's the limit, bro. Like, it's just, it's never going to end. It's like, I love this sport. I love this business. I want to see everyone succeed. I want to see just people be happy. I want the fans to be happy with the product. I want people to be like, yeah, this is what I love. I love professional wrestling. I don't want people to be closet wrestling fans no more. The more people get out of the closet and like, hey, no, I love wrestling, man. Did you see, like, yeah, McGregor had a fight last night. That's great. But no, did you see what happened at, you know, on Fight TV with this promotion? I want that. I want that buzz. I think, you know, there's some major players out there. Like, it's crazy. Like, sometimes I think if I was, you know, if I had that money like that, like, there's so many guys that I could think, like, on the top of my head, I can name 10 off right now that, why are they not signed? You know what I mean? These are killer major players, but timing is everything. I can only focus on myself, on my family, on my goals. I want to see everyone succeed, but hey, you know, this is a business. So what it is, you know, don't touch the clutch, and we just keep on just how Gangrel says, thinging and banging, I guess. I don't know. Just keep on going, keep on trucking, don't stop. And for goals, the goals are never going to stop. I mean, there's just like, I have so many goals for me to sit here and talk about goals. I mean, there's like billion goals I got in my mind, things I want to win, different championships, different venues that I want to perform in.
Sure.
So that's always great.
No, that's wonderful. And I think that's important. I think a lot of people, when they come in, their goal is just to be famous. And that's such a wrong way to approach what wrestling is.
I can't even imagine being famous being that fun anyway. It's like, it's not probably what it's all. You know what I mean? It's like, I do this for wrestling. Like, and at the end of the day, like, you know, wrestling is might have like slowly the ant hole has gone a little bit smaller in North America. But man, like in India and all these different, you know, different parts of the continent and the world, the ant hole is super big. So it's super exciting knowing like, oh yeah, wrestling, people might think, oh, wrestling's not that popular anymore. Dude, wrestling is more popular than it ever has been, like globally, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So really like ideas to work for WWE because, you know, hey, it's World Wrestling Federation, World Wrestling Entertainment. You're going to be able to go around the world and the platform there is just phenomenal. So it's crazy. It's just the wrestling is just super exciting and just, I don't know. It's crazy, man.
For anyone who doesn't follow you, on social media. What are your handles so we can get those people following your career, brother?
Oh, you can follow Otto Von Clutch, OTTOVON. Figure out the rest. Everything is Otto Von Clutch on Facebook, on Twitter, on Instagram, on YouTube. I don't know whatever else there is. I think I have a couple other things, but I never go on and like Snapchat or whatever they may be. But everything's Otto Von Clutch. Luckily, right when I got in, that was the first thing I did was go on all the different places and make sure I could get my name. So there it is. Everything. You can find me at Otto Von Clutch. You can find me on Fight TV every Thursday with Devotion Championship Wrestling. You can catch me on Live Interactive Wrestling on the Knox Pro page. And, man, you know, just probably catch me in a city near you once things clear up a little bit.
Well, that's the perfect place to leave it for now, brother. I hope continued success, and we'll get a chance hopefully to catch up with you in person at some point here once all this craziness kind of dies down and things get back a little bit to normal. But until then, man, keep it at it, keep it up. It's been fun watching your career develop. And I can't wait to see what's in the future for you. And for all you fans out there, please follow him on social media. You know, look up his matches.
No. We're not going to tell them to please follow him. If you don't want to follow me, don't follow me. Because my name is Otto Von Clutch. And this is the Vegas Bad Boys Podcast. And you are definitely connected to the wave. So if you made it this far, you're going to already follow. So that's right, brah. Cadabra, cadabra.
And until next time, ladies and gentlemen, take care.
Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting.